this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
We trust You with our lives. We trust You with our all. We trust You with our existence. We trust You with all we have been through, all we are and all we will be. We trust You with it. No one else is worthy of our trust but You, Jesus. We choose to take You at Your word. We choose to rest on Your promises. We choose to know, thus says the Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Express Yourself through me. Express God in this place, in the name of Jesus. Let every need whatsoever be met by the supply of the Spirit this morning, in the name of Jesus. Let it be a new day, a new season, a changing situation for anyone here, in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Thank You so much, choir. Please, can we celebrate this beautiful choir? The Lord bless. The Lord keep your going out and coming in. May He be gracious unto you all the days of your life, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Again, standing right here is a privilege that I can't take for granted. And I want the church to join me to celebrate my Father who has given me this privilege. So I thank you. Once again, thank you, ma. Pastors, thank you, sir. Hallelujah. This second service, I want us to consider a topic: unraveling the joy in the written word. Unraveling the joy in the written word. There is something about the written word that is unique, that is exceptional. I want us to see the joy in it. How we can live a life full of joy regardless. Regardless. Psalms 119 verse 162. Psalm 119 verse 162. It says, I rejoice on Jeremiah 16:15-16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The word of God was found. I did eat them. They become the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Let's start with Psalm 119 verse 162. King David, the psalmist who wrote this very verse, says, I rejoice at thy word. He saw God's word and he began to rejoice. All that he saw was God's word. He saw God's word in scrolls that was given to them in their days. We now have the Bible. But then they didn't have the privilege of having a Bible in his house. The scrolls were in the temple. The priest has the right of reading it. It's only when you come into the temple that you have the privilege of the scroll. And King David said, each time he has the privilege of the word, I shall rejoice. He didn't stop at that. He went a little step further to equate it to something he can see in his physical life. He says, this joy is equated to one who had found great sport. It's not just sport, but great one. See, we need to understand his background to understand the use of words here. The use of spoil in the Old Testament is a function of the fact in their base that when they go to war, they conquer the king, they take them into exile. Everything in the city is taken. The ones they desire becomes their own. Their gold, their silver, their precious things became that of that kingdom that conquered that city. And this is what King David is equating the joy he has. Example, for us to understand this, let's look at an example in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 6 and chapter 7. There is a story of Samaria. How the Syrians encamped round about them. They became a siege. They could not go out or come in. After a while, famine came into the city. It was so bad, probably no other kind of recession or famine that have been seen in history. When men began to kill, women began to kill their children. One took his life and they killed an ass. And said, tomorrow will be your turn. It was that bad. There was no way. Then a prophet showed up on the scene. And he gave a word. By this time tomorrow. Then, in those days, lepers don't live in the city. There is a camp for the lepers. And so, four lepers probably were in that camp. They said to themselves, if we are here, we will die. If we enter the city, they will kill us. If we go to the Syrian, death. But however, if we choose to be here, we will die of hunger. Therefore, let's take steps. They took a decision to go into the camp of the Syrian. And as they began to go, God caused probably their feet to become noise that the enemy, the Syrians, heard. And they took off, left all that they had in their camps, in their cities, and went away. That these people have gotten the army of Egypt with themselves to come and destroy us. They left everything and they left. Suddenly, the four lepers showed up and they saw empty camp. They thought it was a joke. They went in, ate and was filled. They took and went to hide. They came back earth and they took to go and hide. It was so much that they could, this fight was just too much. And when they look at it, he said, this is a great day of joy. We can't keep this to ourselves. Let's go into the city. And they went into the city and announced it. When they did the announcement, and suddenly the city came in to confirm, and they find out it was true. Suddenly, this fight was so great. So great. That what was sold, what was the flour that was sold, became suddenly a shekel. What was the cost? Let's look at it in our. It's just like a bag of rice being sold for 100 naira. Suddenly, what a great point the community came into. He says, "Do you know what joy for people who have not eaten for several days? People who are killing their children because of." When they saw this point, the kind of rejoicing, the kind of joy that feed their soul, one that a hungry man alone could probably understand, or a man that is at the point of starvation. And WHO defines starvation that it takes 40 days without food before you get to the state of starvation. For starvation to start, it takes 40 days of no food. Just imagine a man at that point seeing this kind of great point. That was the kind of joy that he will experience. Was the joy David equated to the word of God. That suddenly your bank account sounded back. And you check, he was 1 billionaire. Of course, you will learn to pay your tithe. Suddenly, there's a joy that you can't control. Nobody can hold you. You can't be at peace with yourself in terms of being gentle any longer. There's a screaming, there's a dance, there's a shouting, there is all kind of rejoicing. King David says, this kind of magnitude of rejoicing is what he equated to God's word. How precious is God's word to me? The sight of God's word gave him joy. Beloved, the written word of God, the scriptures, no man, living or dead, is as anointed as the Bible you carry. No man, from the beginning of history that you can't, is as anointed, whether he's alive or dead, as the Bible you carry. It is as anointed as God himself. We will check scriptures and we will learn to align our life with the word of God. It's the sight of it. You might be in situation, but if you can't find a word from the scripture, one word from God, one word from the scripture can change your entire being. Your entire history can be changed by one word. What a joy. What a joy to know. Jesus was speaking, I think Luke 10 now, 39 to 42. Martha and Mary. Mary was a cumbered with here and there. Mary chose the word. Jesus himself said. He said, one thing, not two, one thing is needful, the word. One thing is needful, the word. Let's now consider how vital and important the joy that is in the word is. How? What is it about the Bible that it can generate joy? That it can solve any issue? Imagine the richest man in the world just give you a paper and said, this is how to become the richest man in the world. This is it. If you know this, what a joy suddenly to know this is it. Let's look at the importance of God's word and how joy comes out of it. John chapter 1 verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No one can be anointed than God, and the Word we carry is God. The Bible said the Word is God. It is not out of place to say the written word is God in paper. It is not out of place at all to say the written word, the Bible, is God on paper. It is that important. Imagine you can carry God everywhere. And that's the truth. You are carrying God everywhere. That's the value of the word. How did I get born again? I never saw God. The Bible says I must be saved, and I got saved, and I became a Christian. If coming into Christianity is a function of the Bible, every other thing is a function of the Bible. That is how vital and important it is. If it is so, it has the capacity against all odds to rejoice when you have the word. Imagine me having God in my house and the devil shows up. Do you think I'll be shaking? God. See, to look at the Bible otherwise is to trivialize the things God has given us for our victory. These are not words of men. No, they are words of God. But to just look at it as words may be out of place. The Bible says God. The word is God. Remember. Verse 3. And all things were made by him. Who is the him? The word. All things were made by the word. All things. What an audacious statement. See the absoluteness of that statement. All things, excluding nothing. Excluding nothing. There is nothing that is in existence today that was not made by the word. If the word, just by the one spoken word of God, science says that the galaxy is still expanding. The word that was spoken in Genesis is still in operation. It's extremely vital. To be short of the word is you are in danger. To be short in the word of God is to empower the devil against yourself. And many of us as believers, we are empowering the devil against ourselves. All things, absolutely, all things. If all things is this, if is this so strong, and we know, even verse 14 of this same John chapter 1 says, and the word became flesh. My God. Oh my God. And the word became flesh. The word can become job. The word can become children. The word can become employment. The word can become healing. The word became an invisible bridge that Peter stepped out of the boat into. The word can become an invisible bridge. The word can become anything. The word became flesh in the person of Jesus. The word you read in the Bible can become anything. Is there any need in your life? If there is, find the word for it. The word can become that. Is there an harvest you are trusting God for? If you can find the word, you got God committed to it. When you know that the word is this, what kind of joy? The joy cannot be quantum. What will come to you that begin to shake you unnecessarily? When you know that the word became, it can become anything. Anything, anything, even in the face of danger, it can become anything. At the worst of all situations, the word can produce the harvest you want in that situation. What a joy to know that we carry in our hands this Bible. Something that can produce anything. If any man will build his life on God's word, on the Bible, he can never fail. Absolute terms. I am speaking in absolute terms. He can never fail except God will fail. Because the Bible in your hands is God in papers. If you see it as so, you will give the right value to it. Will it not be foolishness that my father has given me provisions and I don't know them? And I'm laboring in prayer. Think about it. My father kept money on the table for me. And I'm crying, waiting my father to come and show up. Please, God, do something. The word of God works always. There is no real joy without the revelation of God's word. The revelation of God's word should bubble joy in your heart. That was the experience of King David. He saw God's word. Joy came. He was sure. He knew victory will come. If God has spoken, then he can be sure he can go to bank with it. Let's see what Apostle Peter says about this. I will need the help of Message Bible. When I need it, I'll let you know, please, immediately. So let's look at Peter's conclusion about the word. 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 to 4. Let's have the King James first. Three to four. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Four. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Please, can you give me a Message Bible of 3 and 4? Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we ever received. Verse 4. We were also given absolutely terrific promises. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you your tickets to participating in the life of God. What is your ticket? The promises of God in the Bible. They say it's an absolutely terrific promises. The promises are terrific to participate in the life that God has. They say to participate in the life that God himself has. If you want, the life of God is the life of the supernatural, for example. The scripture says the promises of God is our ticket to participation. When I know that the promises of God in the written word is my ticket to have any form of participation with God, then what a joy. If I want the supernatural, I have the tool to eat the word. It will lose joy, and what you are looking for will follow you effortlessly. The word of God is exceptional. Let's see what I want us to. Let's look at 16 of this verse. But for time, okay, 16. 2 Peter 1, 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Please follow. 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. 18. And the voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount, 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Hold on. Peter described the appearance of Moses, of Elijah on the holy mount with Jesus. When the crowd came in with those sent triumphants, they were hearing voice they could not see because of the crowd that overshadowed them. Peter earlier in the gospel was saying, let's build three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Elijah, one for Moses here. This same Peter is the one speaking now to say that experience is not compared, is not equal to the word of God. He says that experience of that presence, that spiritual presence that came, is less than the word of God. He says a more, comparing to, he used the word more, that we have a more sure word. No spiritual experience anyone had ever had that is greater than the word of God. No. This is Bible. No man, no matter those who have seen Jesus physically, wonderful, nothing wrong about that. But Peter is saying that there is something greater than that. That is a sure word of prophecy. Then he advised us to take heed. It's our duty to take heed to the sure word of prophecy. To understand that this sure word of prophecy is not referring to, you know, in terms of, okay, say it's a prophetic word. No. If you read the next verse, it speaks about there's no private interpretation. It says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of scriptures, of what? Scriptures. Of the Bible. Is of private interpretation. What was he referring to the sure word? Scriptures, the Bible. It's a greater tool. It's more anointed than any man that has ever been, and any spiritual experience you can ever have. The Bible is higher than that. What a joy. If this Bible is this strong, if it's this powerful, that it contains so much beyond we can say, we can explain, then we need to understand it is the revelation of this that creates the joy in our soul. When we understand the revelation of the word, the honor and the virtue we will listen. There is nowhere in the Bible, for example, that God said, man shall live by prayers. Nowhere. For example, the only clear place, clear thing the Bible says is man shall live by the word of God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Our life can only be built on that. If it is, we will understand. See where Jesus quoted this verse from. We will get it a bit clearer. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. Now, one very vital thing there is this. He said, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know. That, why? Why did he feed them with manna? That he may make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. The process to live is by the word. Prayer exceptional. As a matter of fact, without prayer or praying the word, you may not make the best use of the word. So I'm not against prayer. But Bible says we must live. Jesus spoke in Matthew. God himself spoke here. That we can only live by the word. If this is the basis for which we must live. Yes, we are being given the Bible. Let me show us something. Let me show us how strong and exceptional this word of God is. If you understand and view it that way, see, to have joy, when you open your Bible, joy will come because you know if you get a word from God, God is committed to it. Isaiah chapter 8. 18 to 20. I also need a message here, but let's read. Let me read first. Chapter 8, verse 18. Isaiah 8, 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Please, the next. Thank you. And when they shall say to you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, unto wizard, that people, and that mortal, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Let's go. He said, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Let's look at the exact book. Let's look at the message translation, please. Thank you. I stand my ground and hope. And let's start from 19. When people tell you, try out fortune tellers, consult spiritualists, why not tap into the spirit world? Get in touch with the dead. Just hold on there first. Please, can we go back? He says here, he said when people say consult fortune tellers, consult spiritualists, consult babalawo, consult mamalawo, consult witches, wizard. He said when they say you should do this, those who can peep into the future, or even some prophetic, those who do prophetic mystery, when they say consult them, when they say from here and there, you understand, or let's even consult the dead. See, when they say this thing, if to carry a goat and some things to a babalawo to slaughter, to produce something for you, he said that involvement of the spirit you want, he says, if they say this to you, you should do something. Let's look at 20. He said, tell them, no, we are going to study the scriptures. He says here, the things that babalawo, the realm of the spirit that babalawo can conjure for you. He said, by studying the scripture, you can contact the realm of the spirit. The thing a wizard can do, those who can see into the future, who can peep, who can consult oracles, the things the spirit they can invoke, which is of course demonic in the first place, they say instead of follow them, he said you should turn to do what? He said study the scripture. That the Bible is the only safe link to the realm of the spirit. The Bible is the only safe link to the realm of the spirit. What babalawo can produce, the Bible can produce much more. You don't need to go to demonic spirits. That's what he's telling you. But that if you only will sit with the scriptures, you will contact the realm of the spirit effortlessly. But unfortunately, even believers want to carry goats. Yet, we have enough before us, the Bible. That the scripture says inside it. Let's read 21. Those who are doing otherwise, who is not consulting scripture, see what they say. He said, frustrated, they are frustrated, that's the name, frustrated and famished. And they try one thing after the other. When nothing works out, they get angry, cursing first this God and then that God, looking this way and that way. Move on. Yeah. Up and down, sideways, and seeing nothing. When you can see everything in the Bible, you run after. The Bible is saying that, God is saying that the Bible can produce more than what any spiritualist can do. If I know this, what a joy it gives to me if I want to know anything from God. Why then can't I sit with this Bible and I will see the things, I can encounter the realm of the Spirit here. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's look at, therefore, if God's word is like this, this precious, if it contains things, this depth of joy, what is the integrity of this word? How can I just bank on it? The character of the of God is the character of the Bible. The power that backs the Bible is the power is God. Hear what God said about how, about his own integrity. To be double sure that he is committed to the scripture at all times. In Titus 1:2, he said, in the hope of the eternal life, which God who cannot lie. Which God who cannot lie. Anything you read in the Bible, if God cannot lie about it. If he promises it, he can't lie. His integrity is at stake. See what Hebrews 6:16-18 says. Hebrews 6:16-19. For men verily swear by the greater. An oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. 17. Wherein God willingly more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirm it with an oath. Hold on, please here. God gave the counsel, he gave his word. God looked at it. He said, for you to, what can I do for you to believe this that I will not change about it? He says, he now took an oath. God found no man greater than himself. There was no other person that he could take an oath of. He took an oath of himself. That if this word fail, I will self-destroy. See the next verse. He now says, that by two immutable things, which is the counsel, which is the word, and the oath, in which it was impossible for God to lie. He said, we might have a strong consolation. Me, who is the heir of the promise, my consolation is God has said this, he can't lie. I can be double sure he has said it. What probably was in the case of Daniel in the den of lion. Right at the den of, he probably would have seen a scripture like this. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he will stand and look at it. It's not possible. Even right in that faith, God can't leave me, he can't forsake me. Because his word can't fail. Let me show one more scripture here. Numbers 26:23-19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of a man that he should repent. Have he said and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? Three important things. God cannot lie. God will not change his mind. 3, God will make good his promise. If he has promised you, if you have seen it in scripture, come and write. God will make good of his promise. God promised us. He promised to save man. Because of him to save man, he was going to cost him himself to save man. Yet, he didn't relent. God could wipe the whole world. After all, he wiped empty, left it on earth. If he chose to wipe Noah, nobody would have followed him. He can wipe from every, wipe it out and create a new brand man. But that was not the promise. It wasn't the promise. The promise was that he will save man, which he did in Genesis. And he was going to cost him himself. He was going to cost God to become one first. Secondly, to cost him to die. Yet, God did not relent. He will not relent at what he has said in his word. At all. At all possible costs, God will stand by his word. He will rather stand at his own heart than to break his word. Now, one extremely thing in the Bible that shows this immutability. Why am I showing us this truth? When we value, we understand this truth. What determines your joy will become the word of God. A situation faces you, you are searching the scripture to find out. As soon as you find that word, you can go rejoice because you have God's commitment to it. It's impossible for God to lie. God will rather self-destroy than to lie. God will rather self-destroy than to say this word are not true again. So if you can find it, you have God's commitment. See, one truth in scripture, for example, that shows the infallibility and the immutability of God's word, God making good his word, is actually about Jesus. When Adam sinned in the garden, God instantly came and spoke. The first speaking about Jesus coming was that the seed of the woman. Right in the garden, God spoke about the seed of the woman coming. If you read through Matthew, the Gospels, Matthew precisely, you will find out that in many places, you will commonly see what? That it might be fulfilled. That which was prophesied, which was spoken of God by prophet, so. You can see that in Matthew 1:22, Matthew 2:17 and 23. There's a form of it that he might be fulfilled. Everything about Jesus. See, the truth about it, everything, his virgin birth was prophesied. He's going into Egypt was prophesied. Where he lived was prophesied. The massacre of 2 years below children was prophesied. When he returned in from Egypt, it was prophesied. That all these were there in ears. And if you read Matthew 1 verse 17, for example, it begins to show us about generation. That from Abraham to David, and from David to going on of Babylon, from carrying on Babylon to Jesus, were 42 generations. The word of God was hanging on the air. All through this period, the word of God was right on the air. And it appeared, those who lived that day, who heard prophet Isaiah prophesying, we cried joy that this prophet was a fake prophet because what he said has not come to pass. For some of those prophecies, it took more than 800 years for its fulfillment to come. But God will always stand by his word. When it was the fullness of time, there was the convergence and manifestation of scattered prophecy about Jesus. The prophecy began to come together. All the prophecies that were hanging were the one for Isaiah, the one for Jeremiah, the one for Moses, all began to come together. The prophecy came together and Jesus was born. If God didn't fail, even more than 800 years of promise, why would he fail? To save man, the word of God is that strong. Scattered prophecy came in, and we have the most sure word of prophecy. What a joy When you carry the Bible, you carry the things that can produce anything. You carry the things that have the backing of heaven. You carry in your hand God on paper. God will not fail. He didn't fail in the past. He will not start failing now. When it was more difficult to save man, God didn't fail. Why will he fail? Because of your need. The Bible is for you to use. It's not for decoration. The truth of it will create joy and produce results in your life. Lego susta palo duste elemento vrugo diste lego duste lingwan don benu di kinton kahinde lego non di banco vruga diste ya baru sanata ya badoto kapade to guste elemento ya e gludo boko paradiste kondi kon kombando suse yeraba. Is a new season that cometh. A new season cometh. A season of massive help. Massive help. Massive help. Massive help. Massive help. That the things we have looked at from afar are becoming ours. Are coming our way with speed in this season. In the name of Jesus. 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 We move from strength to strength. We move from strength to strength. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For in Jesus' name we pray.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace. Through God's choice servant, we believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's choice servant in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Jua Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lifehouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.